everybody, and welcome back. This is the Summer Coaches Series, coming to you live on localsportsjournal.com. High school coaches series featuring Muskegon area football teams. We talked about it, kids and coaches. We're visiting with six head coaches from Montague, Muskegon, Muskegon Catholic Central, Reese Puffer, Fruitport, and Mona Shores. Part five today with Coach Shane Fairfield. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for involving us in Muskegon High School and such a great feature.
Now, I want to come clean, too. We had to reschedule a couple times with you. So as busy as you are, and I know you're busy, harder to catch than the proverbial Hong Kong jewel thief, brother, but appreciate you getting us in and finding some time.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anything for, high school sports in the area and local sports journal.
Right on. So let's get right to it. I mean, decompressing, 14-0, state championship. Take me through a little bit. I mean, we're going to get into it a little bit more, but, you know, state championships in 04, 06, and 08 under Tony, and then last year, you're 75-17 overall, I believe.
87-18.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry.
87.
Yeah, 87.
That's quite a run, Coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's not right to know your own stats and stuff.
But, no, I just didn't count last season, obviously. That's a pretty big season to miss, right?
Yeah. That was the one.
Yeah. So let's talk about it, man. I mean, already 2018, coming off that win at Ford Field, man, talk us through that, and we're going to get into it again a little bit more, but is there a decompression at all? I mean, you're the worst at putting pressure on yourself. Talk about that.
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, I don't want to take away from the kids or the team or the staff and support we've had in our fans, but when you're as competitive as I am, you know, I'm 1-4 there, so I got to do it again. You know, I can't be satisfied with just one. And, you know, we've been there 5 out of 6 years, which is a great, great accomplishment by any means. But, you know, when you're competitive, you just want to keep doing it. You know, winning is something that you do. You just don't, all right, I've won and I'm done. I mean, otherwise, I don't know. We'd have the success that we've had if that was our mentality, because we've won a lot of football games. I think we average 13 games a year. You know, my 8 years total, we've averaged 13 a year. So you can only play 14. So there's got to be something burning in there. Not just to be satisfied with winning conference or regional, districts, semis, you know, and getting to the finals. So it's just a burning thing inside of me. So as soon as we were done, we shook hands. It felt good to get that, you know, that win and solidify some of the messages that we've been preaching over those first four attempts. But then it's on the bus ride home. You start already going, let's do this again next year. You know, you start breaking down who you lose, who you have back. We're going through Harrison because we just played him, so we're fresh. And we went back, what is Harper Creek going to have? What's DeWitt going to have? What's Dealing West going to have? What's Holland going to have? You know, so you just start it all over again. So that's just who you are. That's just who we are.
Right. And that's tradition, right, Coach? I mean, you know, when you with a program like yours, with a history like yours, you know, what are you guys aiming for every year? And that's a championship.
100%. That's championship trophies. Put ourselves in the best position to be successful. I love hanging out with our young men, so the only way that I'm guaranteed to hang out with them that long is to play 14 games until the state says you can't play anymore.
So did they love you at the beginning of the season and hate you at the end of the season, or how does that go?
They hate me before, love me later. So that's our message, is the fact that they're going to, you know, being a leader is doing the hard things. Being a leader is someone that has the opportunity to inspire people, but at the same time, you don't make everyone happy. And, you know, being a good parent, you can't be your child's friend. Being a great friend. Being a great friend is doing the hard thing, telling friends and people things that they're not going to want to hear. But at the end, you know what's best for them. And I think that's what happens here, is we tell our young men all the time, you're going to hate me now, but you're going to love me later. I would rather you not like me now and be happy with some of the expectations I have for you. 10, 15, 20 years later, call back and say, man, I hated you then, but man, I love you for what you did. Instead of, man, you were my best friend. You let me get away with this. I haven't accomplished anything. Now I'm being challenged in life. Man, why'd you let me down? Why'd you disappoint me? You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
It's hate now, respect later.
Yeah. So, correct, and again, it's just some stats. You've been, you mentioned it, state finals 5 times, head coach at Holton for 5 years.
Correct.
And then coach of Muskegon Thunder, the indoor football team.
For 2 years.
And then you were here as an assistant, as the defensive coordinator.
Assistant head coach in 08.
There you go. And then 1988 graduate of Muskegon Catholic Central.
Over there, Crusader land. I coached from 91 till 98, and then 99 was my first year here.
Right. So as we've been doing this,
That seems to be a kind of a common denominator with a lot of these coaches we talked with. And you talked about coaches that are meaningful to you. Yeah. I know Mr. Rebecki and Mr. Holmes are very special. Talk about that a little
very
bit.
Very special. You know, growing up, inner city guy with a single mom and four stepdads and, you know, four other siblings. And you have to find someone that you attach yourself to. And playing football for Muskegon Catholic and being under Holmes and Rebecki, Mr. Holmes, Mr. Rebecki, they taught me how to be a man. They taught me how to work. They gave me that expectation, that leadership. The expectation was the biggest, you know, because at home my mom was doing the best she could to raise four kids on minimum wage working at Meijer, you know. And it was those guys that kept me straight. And then, of course, one gentleman, Ben Garza, he was like I called him my street dad. He was the guy that taught me how to swing a hammer and shingle roofs and change brakes and fix cars and needed some money in my pocket. He'd put a few bucks in my pocket to keep me from, you know, steering down the wrong road. But playing there and then coaching there for those guys, you know, going to their homes. You know, I spent the night at Mr. Rebecki's house. I was on trips with Mr. Holmes where we'd sit in hotel rooms and he would just talk about life and football and things like that. So once that was instilled in me, then I embraced the opportunity to be a coach because I know how much of an impact he made in my life. And then I now know how important my role is and the opportunities I have to have an impact in other young men's lives.
Well, Coach, to hear a little bit about your background and where you've come from and your, you know, your home life, it's like you were almost a natural fit here. You know, your experiences growing up and having guys like Holmes and Rebecki in your life, and it just seems like it's really prepared you for, you know, the challenges that you meet every day here.
Yep, it's I'm blessed. I'm a faithful guy, and I believe in God, and believe He has a plan for you and expectations for you. And you know, that's every life lesson. I tell these young men a lot of times that a lot of the way I can have experiences with them or connect with them is the fact that I didn't read it in a book or study it in a after school special, or, you know, it was something that I've lived. And then I also know that you can't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You're not allowed to, you know, I have, a soft place for all their stories and their, but you can't enable anyone. You have to not let them use it for a crutch. I was challenged all the time by Mr. Holmes, Mr. Rebecki and Ben Garza that you need to work, just work. If you have a work ethic, as bad as you are, you can always change your stars. Sometimes you feel you know, this is the destiny of my life, and it doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes it seems repetitive. It's a chain, you know, reaction to how people lived in your life. You know, my real dad was an alcoholic, so I was always told, you know, you're going to be an alcoholic like your dad. You're going to be an alcoholic like your dad. You're not going to amount to anything. So I never drank, you know. So I don't drink and never drank in high school and did any of that kind of stuff. So I feel like I can connect with these guys because I have lived down that path, but then I also know that if you treat people right and you treat people with respect and you surround yourself with good people, good things happen, because I believe being around Mr. Holmes, Mr. Rebecki, Ben Garza, Tony Anise, Dave Taylor, Steve Hoffman, that has put me in and pole-vaulted me into this position.
Wow.
That's very good company.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Now, your kids, you know, do they know your background?
My daughters?
Or your kids players? That you coach, yeah.
Yeah, they know some of
they
it.
They do now.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, they do. They you know, we're a very open book family. We don't really keep a lot of secrets from each other, and that's the way we connect.
Right.
You know, they know my sister. You know, I have a sister that's African American mixed with my mother remarried an African American gentleman, so I've had three step black brothers and stuff from the South and grew up in the Heights, and so they know that, you know, a lot of my things are real and genuine. You know,
right.
My stories and the connection and my passion is true. It's somebody I'm not trying to be, and it's somebody who I am, and I think they know that I'm real, and we just move forward, you know, and that's the biggest thing is relationships and loving kids and breaking down walls and trust and telling me not going anywhere and things like that. So, and I learned a lot of that from Tony. You know, Tony was that way. Tony Anise is another big contributor to my success here because he really reinstilled in the tradition back here with relationships. And I'm thankful to him. I thank him every day. I'll call him, tell him I love him. You know, not afraid to tell another man that you love him. Sometimes as a guy growing up, when you've had four stepdads, you know, or young men, sometimes it's hard to tell another man that you love him, you know. So breaking down those walls and saying it's okay is, once again, you know, we are a family. Our kids play so hard for us, and I think it's because of we spend more time with our young men out of season than we do in season.
So important.
Yeah, 100%. We're not just there on Friday night wearing a shirt and a hat, and we're cold. They're out there banging themselves up and getting hurt and kind of, you know, putting themselves on the line, and we're boasting as coaches. Well, you know, these kids know that we pick them up, we give them a ride home, we sit in the team room, we just chat it up, we spend time in the vehicle. You know, a young man will tell you more in a 15-minute car ride home about himself than you would in a school setting all day with a teacher for 8 hours.
Isn't that the truth?
You know,
it really is.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. All right, well, thanks to Local Sports Journal. Jason, thanks. Hey, you and I put this thing together.
It's amazing to be able to do this, John. I'm always pinching myself when I get to sit down with coaches like Coach Fairfield here. And I'm just glad that LocalSportsJournal.com is here to give our high school teams and kids the coverage they deserve. And, you know, Muskegon area has an incredible tradition. You know, when you see Earl Morrill Drive right there, parking on that street, and you see where this town sports scene has progressed, it's just you pinch yourself. And when you're sitting here in the coach's room here at Hackley Stadium, and it's an amazing thing to know that you get to report on a history like this.
Yeah, right. We love it. We love the expectation and the history that's down this hallway. You know, the people that built U of M built this stadium. The people that built Wrigley Field built this stadium. You know, this is the oldest playing facility in the state of Michigan.
And, wow.
And there's some serious, serious guys that have walked up and down this hallway. There's coaches that have been in and out of these coaches' offices and walked on that field. So, what a tradition.
Wow. The folks that built Wrigley Stadium built Hackley Stadium.
Hackley Stadium,
you know, how many folks have heard that, John? Have you heard that before today?
Never.
Right?
Never.
Yep, right.
Yeah, and this is why it's great to sit down in locker rooms like this is you know, you just don't hear those things until you sit down and you have a good conversation.
Well, it's like the coach just said, the 15-minute car ride. That's hopefully what this is going to end up being today. So.
Right.
So let's also reach out to the Finishing Touch full-service salon offering hair, nail, design, massage, tanning, and terrific products. They're at 865 West Summit in Roosevelt Park, 231-755-3377. Our other sponsor, ASSE International. Consider hosting an international high school student. Just 3 squares a day in a bed in a safe place to lay their head. Call Julie at 616-402-2892. Other sponsors, Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boy Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell & Reed Financial, Durspeed Automotive and Sports Clips. All right, Coach, 14-0. The thing that jumps off, and I mentioned this to you when we've met many moons back, when you look at last season, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, right? Yep. But when you look at your defensive numbers, only allowing 88 points
incredible
all season long, when you gave up an average of 6.3 points per game and you're scoring over 50 points per game, talk about that, and I mean, you got to go back a long, long way to get to that number.
Well, the thing is, the 88 was the first defense only gave up 74. Two of those were kickoff returns. One was against Byron Center, and of course, we were all at the state finals when they returned that kickoff. So
we're going to talk about
until that. So really, our defense only gave up 74. So that was something that those guys, a lot of those guys were back from the team that lost with 6 seconds left and 16. The secondary was back, the interior line, Eli and Paul Riley and Elevante and those guys were all, you know, so they stewed in that for a long time. They had a whole year to replay that six seconds, and I think going in was a little edge and a chip on their shoulder that they were going to be the most dominating defense that we've ever seen. And, you know, in the 2014 game series, you go back to when they start playing 14 games, the best team here gave up 124, and that was 2004. And their goal was to give up less than 124 in 14 games. And, you know, I think there was 2 games where we gave up 0 first downs, except for one was two of them. The two games we gave up 2 first downs in were by penalty. So we held 2 teams. I think it was Kennewick Hills and Union to 0 first downs in a game. Shreveport to minimal two, I think, first downs in a game. So, you know, that was just something that was in those kids' heart and mind,
right,
to play dominant defense.
So, I'm sorry. You talked about that crushing last 6 seconds the year before. A lot of times kids will put that up in a locker room or they'll talk about it. That's not lost on them. Did you do anything special or you just said those kids are going to take care of it themselves?
Well, we always put the scores. If we lose a game, we put that in the locker room. So when they walk in and out of the locker room every day to practice, every game, and then below it sits a little court of paint with a paintbrush, you know, and we play that team again, they get to come back in from that game and paint that over. So being that it was Orchard Lake St. Mary's, that game was on that every day. You know, we had Stevenson the year before. We lost one game in the regular season against Stevenson out of Illinois. We had 3 points, and then we lost in the state final. So those two scores were on the wall. All summer long, all season long. And then we got back from beating Stevenson in Chicago last year. They were able to paint over that. And then the Orchard Lake sat up there all the way until we realized we weren't going to play them in the playoffs. But, you know, that was something that was just reminded. A lot of the kids had it as their last play. You know, it wasn't that last play that cost us. It was a series of little things throughout the game is why that we adopted the motto, Little Things Matter, LTM. And but a lot of them had that play as their screensaver or as their Facebook page.
Every day.
Every day they looked at it, you know. And then, of course, my keypad, 2829, was my unlock my phone. So every time I got into my phone, I had to put down 2829, 2829. And I changed it now if anybody tries to get in my phone. It's no longer 2829. But so that was a reminder every single day of I had to remind myself of that score every day. And that's what kind of gives you the motivation to continue to move forward.
Yeah, and a lot of people might, you know, try to never think about that moment again.
Oh, no, I've watched it. Of course, it's all over YouTube and getting ready for this season and this program. You know, as coaches, and John, it's just the head coach. Head coach is the big dog, but the kids getting on the bus coming home from that, I mean, just enormous heartbreak. How do you just leave them be? I mean, there's really nothing you can say in that environment except, you know, those who are coming back, we're going to fight for you, the guys that are the seniors. Don't worry about it. We got you.
Yeah, well, it was one is the life lessons and the journey along the way. If we as fans and coaches and parents can always reinstill the fact that, you know, if our fans could not be so brutal at times because they're kind of spoiled to the fact that, you know, we've played 14 games 5 out of 6 years. So 2012, we played 14. And there was only 2 mornings out of those 14 games where you woke up upset. 2013, 14 games, 14, 13 games, 14 games, 15, we played 12 games, 16, 14 games, 17, 14 games, you know. So let's not lose the moment of the journey that they, you know, we get so caught up in that last game that you forget about winning a conference. You forget
absolutely.
About winning a district and, you know, all the playoff games. I think we've lost 4 games here in Hackley in 8 years, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So there's all kinds of great moments that go along, and I would hope that after a game like that, parents would grab your son and or fans would grab him and hug him and say, thanks for the memories, man, it's a great season, you
right.
know. But fortunately, America and us humans love winners, and we want to win that last game. But the biggest message I told them, I told the people on my the MLive interview, the Google whatever YouTube video, was I'm not going to apologize for losing, you know. Our motto was the fact that we keep telling our kids that you're going to get kicked in life. You're going to get knocked over in life, you know, and it's the old Rocky thing. It's life's going to hit you hard. Dude. When you get back up, do you swing back harder or do you just lay there and lick your wounds? So we jumped up. We got back on it. I said, if people are tired of me coming and losing, then beat me before we get there because they say we can't win the big game, you know. And right. to me, I thought that, well, winning 6 games were big games. There's a lot of teams that didn't do that.
Yeah.
Winning the
right.
pre-district was a big game because if you don't win the pre-district, you don't win the district. You had to win the district to win the regional. You had to win the regional to get to the semi. You had to win the semi to get to the – so when did those not become big games, and why do we just praise our young men on the victories instead of the journey?
And I think a lot of people, too, forget how much – you do need luck. You need breaks
yep.
to get to just to advance in the playoffs. I mean, just to keep going, you know. And people forget that so much of it is getting those breaks, those small breaks, and you know, it doesn't always add in your favor.
Well, the running joke was that I was paying for Tony's exchanges from the football guys. so, you know, Tony calls me. Like I said, he's my savior, man, and he's my guy. And he called me and said, Shane, the only difference between me and you is I got breaks and you didn't get breaks. He said 2014, we had a kid against Bay City Western who missed a field goal, a PAT. He says the kid hadn't missed a PAT all year. Otherwise, you go to overtime. Who knows? He says 2006, he says Ronald comes down and scrapes the ball out from De La Salle, who's going over the end zone. Game would have been over. He goes, you know, we got a break. He goes, 2008, I was there as assistant head coach and D coordinator. We didn't, we were down 19 with 5 minutes left in the game against Davison at Michigan State. We recovered not one but two onside kicks and won that game. He goes, so we wouldn't even been in the state finals. And he says, unfortunately, you just haven't caught a break. You know, they had a kid the 1 year, last year, the 16 team, the kid kicked a 49. He kicked three field goals, and one was a 54-yard field goal. 54
right.
In high school. He broke this. The West Catholic broke it, like, before the game. Kid kicked a 49 or whatever. Then this kid comes in and kicks a 54-yarder, you know. So that was, like you said, you got to be a little lucky.
You do.
You got to be healthy. That's the biggest thing going to the playoffs is health, because you're always one or two players away from being just a good team instead of a great team. And, you know, unlike college, you have all that depth, where at high school you have who you have, and kids got to play. So, yeah, you got to be a little lucky.
So let's talk about your schedule last year just real quick. So Ann Arbor Pioneer, you mentioned Stevenson, Fruitport, Byron Center, Puffer, Union, Kennewa Hills, and then Shores. You had really, to be completely honest, really not even, I mean, not, I don't want to say not tested because that'd be disrespectful, but really just kind of rolled your way through your early schedule. You outscored your home opponents 295-6 with the lone touchdown coming in the playoffs against Holland.
Yep.
But talk about that Shores game, because that was a good football game.
The Mona game was a game where it's always going to be, whether they're the better team or we're the better team, if they had 17 Division I guys and we didn't have any, or we had 17 right. Division I guys, that game is always going to be close, because you just can't keep the hype out of it. You just can't keep the media.
Would you have 10,000 people at that
game? That. Yeah,
it was.
Like 11,
it was rainy.
Like 11.
The rain started coming down. Yeah. Everyone hunkered in under their umbrellas.
So there was end zones everywhere and
right.
tents and all helicopters and all kinds of stuff. So you have those games, you know, where it's just going to be – I think if you played – if anybody else was in a – you know, if we or they were in a different uniform, it wouldn't have been –
right.
That big a game. But because it's across town, it's a mile,
right.
2 miles, 3 miles away from each other, you know, and the kids know each other and the families know each other and they're bickering. You know, and I'm in a movie theater one night and just trying to watch a movie and clear my mind, and 3-4 guys walk in. Hey, they say they're going to do this, and they say you guys are overlying. Your old line's too fat and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, can I just come on now? You know what I mean?
Just trying to watch a movie, man.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. So.
Well, it's amazing, too. You know, Mona Shores not long ago, you know, hadn't won a playoff game ever, had never made the playoffs. Right. And, you know, so their program has really turned around quite a bit. You know, I think you could probably attribute Koziak as being pretty influential on that turnaround.
Yeah.
But, you know, how special is that to have that crosstown rivalry like that?
It's huge to have. It's good for high school football. You know, you got to take the fact that's another Tony Anise guy. You know, he was in this program. So, I mean, we're expected to play tough football. So it's good for high school football. It's, you know, great that they're having the success that they're having. And for us to have the early games that we have and then to play them later, where you know you're going to get a playoff caliber team, you're going to get a team that's well coached, you're going to get kids that love to play hard.
Yep.
Their mindset is tough, because he takes them to Veer camp and he does everything that we do here that Tony has instilled. So you know that they're workers. They're going to work. You know, they're not going to falter. They're not going to beat themselves, those kind of things. So then to have that game at the end, so you kind of have the tough schedule at the beginning, and then we look forward to having that game towards the end, because then that's that last big challenge before you get into the playoff run.
Right. So, and, you know, we talked a little bit about having the breaks. You stayed healthy, knock on wood.
Yep.
All season last year, you were healthy. So that's having all those guys, your O-line was healthy, and the synergy that those guys were able to develop over the season. Going into the playoffs, you took care of Holland. But then you had Zeeland West and DeWitt at Grand Haven. And,
yep.
You know, that's a point, and you've been around the sport a long time. Hey, man, anybody getting in the playoffs is a good football team. And it's when you look past someone like that that you get stung and maybe get beat. So
yep.
I was able to talk to you a little bit before the Zeeland West game, and you said your boys were locked in. I think that's when they were walking around in the freezing cold with their shorts on and no shirts and socks and shoes. But talk about that a little bit, about going from regular season
to playoff mentality, or is it all the same mentality all season?
Well, the great thing is, you know, when we went and played Stevenson week two, that was in front of a packed crowd, and they have like 4,000 people in their band. I mean, it was loud. It was playoff football. You play the Mona game week eight, and it's 10, 11,000 people. So you're already, I believe, the reason we play such a tough schedule and want to play such a tough schedule is because we want to have our kids with all that shell shock stuff out of the way. We want to make sure that they're used to the big crowds, the hype, the bands, the smoke, the grilling, the long lines, all those kind of things.
All that stuff.
So then our kids are just like, oh, this is normal, you know. So we like to have them take it in so they don't miss what they've accomplished and what the position. But it can't be all about the bouncy houses and the smoke and the stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's got to be about the game. That week was really, really cold. We practiced in some cold, cold weather. That's the week that I took off my shoes and socks and shirt and just sat there in shorts because they lost their focus because it started getting cold and I had to do something to reel them back in. So I got I got down to just my sweats and nothing else on, and the kids were like, "Coach, man, you're gonna freeze." And I'm not gonna lie.
It was cold.
I kept telling myself, man, I hope they get it right this time, man. One more time they get it right, I can be like, now see, let's go.
That's good.
But no, so the playoffs are definitely, you can never, you know, the DeWitt game, I was ready to fire my whole staff. We had Coach White was a scout team quarterback. We thought we had a good plan going in, and then Tuesday's practice, we were at Grand Haven practicing on the turf, and they were throwing darts on us, and, I mean, completing this and completing that, and I fired both Eagle and Dockery, and I'm like, this is, you know, you guys are supposed to have this locked down, and now we got to go back and change everything. You know, this, if Brent's torching us, you know, an O-line coach, he played O-line in high school here, but now he's just, you know, offensive coordinator. And if he's smoking us right now, what's the kid from DeWitt going to do? So we put it together, came out, played a heck of a game. The kids were amped up for that one, and 49-0. And
wow, that zero with DeWitt. Now, you know, Bob, your stats guy, Bob Ecker, had DeWitt, their coach, ever been shut out before?
I believe not. It was like, if it was, it was 200 and something games, before, you know, since he had been shut out. So it was crazy. I didn't understand why they were so mad, but
right.
I woke up the next day.
That'll do it.
Bob had a stat that was like, not only did you, you know, beat a really good DeWitt team, but an amazing DeWitt team, but that's the first time that, you know, Coach Zimmerman had been shut out, or, you know, that score held scoreless in so many games, and I was like, that makes sense.
I bet those things are when you're winning so many games, and especially by the margins you're doing it, obviously that means a lot because it just shows, you know, the quality of how well you are prepared for the season. But it might be hard to keep an eye on those things because you're it's such a big differential. And then when you get to hear stats like that, that's gotta feel good.
It does. Well, Bob always does that to me. When we it was one more playoff game because I had just passed Coach Anise as the winningest all-time playoff coach here in the history of Muskegon High School. So he tells me before the game, you know, you win today, you're gonna pass Tony. He's got 20 and something in the playoffs in 9 years, and you're 20 and something in, you know, this is your eighth year and seven. So he goes, you know, you win this one. I'm like, man, can you not tell me that stuff?
No pressure, though.
Before we play, you know. And then there was like one game was our defense. I didn't know this, but our defense hadn't given up a third quarter touchdown in some 8-9 games where nobody came out in the third quarter after making adjustments at half, which was a compliment to our defensive staff and our offensive staff. To not give up an offense. The only person to score on us that year on the third quarter was the play in 16 was EGR here on the first series of the third quarter. Other than that, the rest of the season until the state finals, we never give up a touchdown in the third quarter. So those are all stats that, of course, Bob brings to me and my attention. And, of course, that game, then we gave up a touchdown. So
well, and you've suggested we reach out to Big Red Bob.
Yep.
I've never met him personally, but that's the name I have for him. So he's going to be involved with us moving forward.
He is. Big Reds. Yeah, so we're excited, too. You know, we got some great things planned with Bob.
Yeah, he knows it all. He writes some great stories. He writes some good football player. I got an opportunity to play semi-pro ball with him when we were.
Oh, really?
We played together with the Blackhawks and the West Michigan Storm. And tough guy, you know. Never was like the Terrence Taylor or the Bradford or the Darius Jefferson.
Right.
But he is definitely. If we could instill in more of our players what Bob's built about, this program will never take a step back.
And how cool is that? I mean, he's going to be broadcasting every Big Red game on what's the radio station?
I think now you're going to put me on the spot.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, I
101 or something FM.
Yeah, or 107.1 FM or WVIB.
Whoever it is.
And that's
they're lucky, whoever.
Right, and they're a partner of ours.
I'll get back to you.
WLCS 98.3 FM, Rick Hickman and John Russell over there, they have been a huge partner of ours with the LSJ as we've progressed.
Yep.
And so it's great that you know they're going to be having every game live there.
I'm going to owe some burpees now for that one.
All right, so Battle Creek, Harper Creek, East Kentwood, you guys get through that one. I mean, that was just, again, a dominating performance, 42-0. Farmington Hills Harrison, you mentioned it earlier, didn't kind of start the way you'd wanted. There's a lot of big red hearts maybe that sank a little bit.
Yep.
On the opening kickoff of that game, but then Ladarius just kind of took it over. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was, you know, we worked all week in practice. We knew that when we were playing Harper Creek, they had four recruiters or four scouts there watching us play. Davion McCall was a speedster. Davion was one of our faster guys, and he's fun to watch run. But he got caught kind of by a horse collar down in the corner of the end zone, and four of their scouts sat in front of our camera guy. Well, we got four or five guys faster than him. And I was like, so the camera guy, kind of, you know, Dave tells me, this is what they said about you. And I was like, no, they don't. No one's got four guys faster than us. Maybe one or two. Well, after I watched them on film, I was like, yeah, they do. They're not lying. And 3 and 11, the only reason 11 was, I think it was 11 or 3, was second in the state in the 100 was because the other one beat them out. You know what I mean? So they had two of the fastest kids in the state of Michigan.
Wow.
And they're both juniors, and they're both kick returners, punt returners, running backs. And so in practice, we said we wanted to kick to 37 or 7. I'd rather kick to the kid who was going to Notre Dame instead of the kids who were deep. You know, so we worked on a three-step approach. We worked on just pooching it to the 30-yard line, 25-yard line, having them fair catch it, or we would corral 7 or we would corral 37, but we'd keep it out of 3 and 11's hands. We ended up kicking it to the 6, and the kid went back. And our headsets weren't working yet. So you can see in the video of the MHSAA thing that I'm handing my headset to Dockery. Dockery's taking one from Ego, and I'm like, well, whose works? Can I get this? And all of a sudden, I hear the roar, and I look up, and I see the jumbo screen there, and I'm like, oh, they just scored, you know? So
oops.
I started to kind of say, what just happened? And then I started doing the old Coach Klein from Bobby Boucher there, the water boy. I started hightailing it towards the tunnel to get a hot pretzel. But I said, I had been here before, man. I started, like, Coach Klein, where you going? I was like, I'm going to the concession stand to get a pretzel. I'll be back. So we settled in. We went down the field. The O-line took over. They opened some gaping holes. They did an amazing job for Ladarius and Lonnie.
You had four touchdowns, and your defense allowed just 3 points. I mean,
yeah.
So everybody kind of, Ladarius sort of, and what a, you know, and I it's just a personal observation. What a kid that was locked in. Just a really kind kid. Young man,
right.
Always calm, never really got too high, too low.
Nope, that's what
but
you look for.
The thing that struck me is always talking about his teammates.
Yep.
Always, you know, Mr. Football and all this. Yeah. Always talking about what he was going to do for his teammates. Not only the guys on the team, all the kids that have come before him, all the kids that are going to come beyond him, and then the kids on the other team as well, right?
Yep.
I mean, what a great young man.
That was in his character. That was in his DNA. That was what he was about, and he was locked in from the – from the last play of the game as a, you know, as a junior, when we took the lead, he said to us, it was third down, and I called a timeout, and I told Brent, our offensive coordinator, I said, hey, let's run the ball to the left, and if we don't get it in, we'll kick the field goal, and we'll take the lead by one. You know, and he's like, no, coach, I'm telling you right now, run that play again. No disrespect, seniors, but I'm telling you, Coach, if you run that play again, I will score. They won't, you know, stop me. And sure enough, he goes in and scores. So, and then, of course, they had the crazy drive with 1:50 left with one timeout. But two pass interference calls put us across the 50, and then a couple big passes. And then, of course, you know, we missed a sack opportunity on third down, 3rd and 6. We had a guy, and they had the quarterback in the grasp to sack him, and it would have made it 4th. And then they got the first down, and then they were able to spike it. And then that's when they ran the next play. Otherwise, we would have sacked them on 4. So as much as people want to look at it and go, well, it was that last play. Well, we had the sack there. If we wouldn't have threw the pick before half, if we would have not let them have the 2 3rd and 16s on draw because we ran the A gap instead of the B gap. So that's why we adopted the motto, was because, you know, it was – but what a game. Last year's game was just phenomenal. Our defense, Ladarius, the O-line. And like I said, I'm excited about all those old linemen being back. So
yeah, we're going to talk about that. But I also want to shout some love out to young man on your team, number 13. He was the first one to get the trophy. You handed it to him. 15, excuse me.
Yep.
And just what a great story that is. I mean, what a kid with a little, you talk about challenges and getting up when you're knocked down. But talk about that and how you guys rallied around
Taylor,
that young man.
Taylor Smith, I was hoping to get the ball back because he wasn't cleared yet, but we were going to let him go in and take a knee and kill the play in victory formation and at least be on the field for a play. He is a young man who wasn't even going to start for us. The starting returning safety was out for a growth plate surgery in the knee, and we just kind of turned to Taylor, and he took a brutal summer of butt chewings and yelling and screaming and hollering and to being a heck of a starter. He wasn't the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, but he had so much heart and determination.
Go to work, man.
And that way he punched the clock, man. And he definitely has a hard hat guy, you know. So then we had a situation going into the playoff game against Holland. We're at practice on Wednesday. We're doing our normal EDD drills. He wrong-arms a guy and felt something pop, you know, in his clavicle. Then he didn't say anything to me about it. And then we're doing more drills, and all of a sudden I heard one of them say, "You're going to tell Coach." Hmm. And I said, "Tell Coach what?" And he said, "Nothing." And then Michi said, "Well, it's his collarbone, Coach. Something's wrong with his shoulder." So we said, "Well," then I said, "go get it looked. You know, we play Friday, so you need to go get this looked at." And they took him in, and they found a lump, like a tumor in behind his clavicle. So I'm thinking collarbone. But it was just he had a tumor on the backside of his collarbone that hit kind of ignited, and it swelled right up. They took him in, came back, said he's got a stress fracture type thing. That tumor weakened it, but it was not cancerous, but they said that if it was such a tumor that it would have kept eating at that bone, and that if it ever broke, there's a main artery that runs back behind there, that wow. could have punctured it, and he probably could have bled out, you know. So,
oh, my gosh.
So that was so heartening, disheartening for him.
Mm. The emotion of that, you know, going in there, I mean.
Especially your kid that's working so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out.
And how soon did he know, you know, after he found out there's a tumor there, how soon did he find out if it was benign or cancerous?
It was like a week or so after that they did the biopsy and the
wow.
test and all that kind of stuff, so. Then it was going to be okay, and then, you know, they just kept playing it ear by ear. Then it was the Wednesday before the state finals. He went back to see if it had healed and it was strong enough. And I remember the phone call from his mom, and it was just wrenching that they told him he could not play in the state finals. You
heartbreak.
Know?
Heartbreak.
So he became a coach. We gave him a coaching jacket, gave him a coaching hat.
Cool.
We called him a coach. He coached his position. He coached the animals for us. And he did an amazing job holding the team together, and then he was the one that was able to dress. And I was gonna, like I said, we had him dress. We had it worked out with our trainers that if it was a non-contact play, we were trying to get the ball back. They kept winging it, throwing it around. You know, we were up 28-10, and they kept
right.
tossing it all over. And we're like, just we need a stop. Just get a stop so we can let, you know, Taylor get in. So that's why then I took him with me to give him the trophy because he deserved it more than anybody.
Wow, that's a great life lesson. You know, that I think a lot of kids today, you know, you have things not go your way. And the natural inclination is to be, I'm a victim.
Right.
And why is this me?
You know,
why me? Why me? Yeah. And it sounds like he's just a great kid sees that, this is how life is not always perfect. Life doesn't owe you anything.
Well, Coach, you were talking about that. I mean, that's what you try. It's bigger than football, man.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
about life. This is about, and as they get older, as we all know, there's going to be other things in life that sort of knock you on your fanny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's how you respond, man, and what kind of
right.
character you're going to have. And who of us that have played the game doesn't have a coach like you? You know, George Barcheski.
Yep, yep.
You know, what a guy. I mean, not my favorite guy by any stretch of the imagination, or Al Zykowski, for that matter, our defensive line coach, but... Man, I mean, there's so many references that you can adopt in life when they've taught you. So you mentioned your offensive line. You lost a couple of guys, but you got the majority of those guys coming back. Bradford, DeQuarius Johnson, Marquise Cooper, and DeAndre Mills-Ellis.
Yep.
They really played well together. All those guys coming back.
All back. Yep. There's 14.
That's bad news for your opponents, brother.
Well, I mean, 14 game starter in the left, 14 game starter in the center, 28 game starter at right guard, 28 game starter at right tackle. So I mean,
right. And you had Billy Roberts in there as a tight end. Sometimes you'd run that double tight end.
Yep.
You lost. Forgive me. I don't remember the other kid's name.
Eli Jackson.
Yeah, he's gone, but Billy's still here. My understanding is who's going to line up maybe on the opposite side from Billy.
Well, there's Jordan Porter.
Okay.
A young man, 6'3", 220, 30-pound kid will be there. We have two tackles. We have Evan Towers, who's 6'3", 6'4", 280, 90 pounds, who's playing that left tackle. Another kid named Rico Crowley, who's 6'2", 6'3", 265, 270. So whoever doesn't win the tackle spot will probably be that other tight end. So then we'll have Billy Roberts at 255 at one, 6'4", 6'5", and then we'll have the other. So whenever we get teams that want to put too many guys in the box, then we'll just bring our bulldozers in and we'll just control the ball and hopefully knock them off the ball a little bit and see how the game plays out. But we have guys that can spread the field, and then we have guys I think that are going to be huge. But this offensive line, you know, I always go back to our 2012 with Quincy Crosby, who went to Kalamazoo College, and now he's out. He graduated, and now he's out in California producing movies and stuff, being in movies as an actor. Antoine Billings, who went to Saginaw Valley, and he just graduated from Saginaw Valley. Shandar Ricks, who went to Northwood University. Malik King, who went and graduated. He just graduated from Miami of Ohio, played Division I football. So four of those five guys all went off to college and played football, and so that was an amazing offensive line. But this line here, in my 8 years, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Tony's teams and the teams that come before me, but in my 8 seasons, going on my 9th, this line, if they hold up their end of the deal and they don't get comfortable, will be one of the most dominating lines I've seen in my time coaching high school football.
Talk about your quarterback, Ladarius Jefferson, obviously amazing.
He's back. The state granted him another year.
thank goodness.
Wow.
But talk about your quarterback position. Obviously, they're not one more important than the other, but certainly the quarterback, the signal caller. Tell us a little bit about what's evolving at that position.
Well, right now there's two and three guys. Of course, Cameron Martinez is playing that role right now. He came over from Muskegon Catholic. You know, his father, his stepfather, is our athletic director. So he is developing a real understanding of the offense. He's got a great arm. He throws a very catchable ball. You know, Ladarius's ball was like 100 miles an hour. He
was throwing fastball.
He was throwing college-level passes, you know, in high school. So now we have a kid that has a big arm, but yet he throws a little bit more of a catchable ball, so it helps our young guys at receiver.
And he's just going to be a junior.
There you go. He has some Power 5 offers, but he's just learning the offense as far as the option goes. But he brings a lot to the table with his athleticism and his arm. Johnny Martin is a returner who played in some games for us last year. He was recovered from ACL surgery. He was playing against Fruitport, got tackled out of bounds, tore his ACL. He's coming back, but he has a really good understanding of the option offense. He runs our option offense really well. And then is working on his arm strength. So they both are good at two different parts of the game. I think whoever gets better at their complete game, if Johnny's arm gets better and he's completing some of those big balls that we need to be thrown, he could be the guy. If Cameron catches up to the fact that he understands the midline and triple and all these kind of things, then he could be the guy. So we'll most likely name that starter before going into the East Kentwood scrimmage on the 17th. We will not have him go into the scrimmage going, you know, who's the starter. We'll name that probably that Wednesday or Thursday who's going to be the starter.
Right. So
what's their size like, by the way?
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask.
Johnny's probably 5'11", 5'10", 5'11". He's a Mike linebacker. He's played linebacker for me his whole career, so he has that tough mentality. Big chest, strong kid, probably about 185, 190. And then Cameron is 5'11". And he's about 189, 190 right now as well. So,
what's their speed like?
Johnny coming back from that surgery, so we haven't put him on a time yet, just because I don't want him to. You know, he's been running hills, he's doing everything with all the conditioning. We just ran our 40-40s on Thursday. He finished strong. Cameron, I think, has been clocked under the 4-5, four-five range.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of calling those Catholic games for the past several years, and a pleasure of watching Cameron play. For the first 2 years at Catholic, and it's been a pleasure watching that kid. He's one of those kids, again, just a great kid.
Yep.
A really level-headed kid, nice
he's
young
got
man.
Amazing springs in his legs. I mean, he can just
But he's just
leap.
One of those kids you watch, and you've seen it. We've all seen a lot of them that you watch him play, and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's got nice. It.
Yeah, you just recognize that, you know. When you see these special athletes come through your doors.
We created that.
We coached that.
Right.
Talk about your other coaches, speaking of that, your staff, level of commitment. I mean, you got some good guys, obviously well-rounded staff. And also, let's give a little love out to your JV and freshmen. You're going to have both JV and freshmen this year.
Of course, I wouldn't definitely not be where I'm at it wasn't for Brent White. You know, Brent White is my assistant head coach and defensive offensive coordinator. I coached him in high school in 2003. In 99, he was a freshman, redheaded O-lineman guy, you know, band player, loves the band, played in jazz band, but he's a heck of a guitar player, you know. So, goofy dude, and I took him with me right out of high school. When I went and got the head coaching job at Holton, he went right with me. So he's been coaching football since he stepped a day out of high school. So
that's great.
Very knowledgeable young guy. Everybody looks at him and thinks he's really young, but heck, he's coached so many games of football already as a young man. So, but Brent, he'll be due here for a head coaching job soon. I know, and I'm not going to have him forever because he's a great football mind.
So can Holton thank you and Brent then for the turf they got up there? Or how in the heck did they get turf? I mean, they got an amazing complex
facility
up there.
That was something that Dave Stitt, he was on the board when they hired me, and Dave Dewey was the principal or the AD at the time. They went outside the box. They hired somebody new. Roger Cheverini, Coach Chev, was a big friend of mine and love him to death. But he was the one that turned me on to that job. And Tony said, yes, you should go. So I went up there, and Dave Stitt, who was the president on the board at the time, he owns the construction company and a few buildings in Holton.
Yep.
And him and I had a conversation, and I said, well, we're going to build you a team, but you got to build me a facility. I said, we're not wheelchair accessible in our stands. We have one side. The bathrooms are non-wheelchair accessible. And he said, I tell you what, we'll put something together. You build me a team, and we'll build a facility. And then we got the Kirk Yonces and the Brian and Gina Craig and Rob Craig.
It's a family out there.
Oh, man.
It is so entrenched.
Yep. So there was a group of family members that just pushed that. The superintendent pushed it. We pushed for the millage, and then they built that.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, following the teams, covering sports. Holton has an incredible facility out there. Those guys got, what a vision to be able to see that and how it's helped that family out there.
Yeah, I was able to go back there and play Petoskey in a playoff game.
Yeah, so I remember that game. That was beautiful.
All the friends and family and friends and stuff out there. So, So Brent's huge. Justin Ego's been with me. I coached him at Muskegon Catholic as well. And he was an All-State running back at Catholic, played at Grand Valley, and he's been with me since I got the job. He was actually, when he got done with Grand Valley and working in Boston, he came back, started working with Dusty out at Ravenna. And then I stole him from Ravenna, and he was on my staff. And then Matt Bowles was another Muskegon Catholic guy, and he was an O-line coach. He was up at Hesperia, and I kind of stole him from Hesperia and that area. And then he came over and started coaching for me at Holton for a year in 07, and then he came with me to Muskegon.
Now, Hesperia's coach is Doug Bowles. Are they related, or
yes,
is that?
That's his uncle, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, his uncle.
Cool.
It's his dad's brother, so that's his other.
It's all family out here, John.
But I tell you what, in the Muskegon, so I'm at Mass yesterday. Julie and I are at St. Mary's up here in Muskegon. And the Padre's up there giving his homily, and part of his homily is he's a tough guy because he won a state championship at Muskegon Catholic. And I'm
like, what?
First name is Matt, and he says he just turned 40, so he's got to be. I've said I'm a tough guy. I played inside
What's
linebacker.
His last name?
I haven't. I forgive me, Lord. I haven't looked it up, but
I know exactly who that is.
But he was a tough. He said I'm a tough guy. So, and I looked over at Julie. And go really. Really? Catholics, like, everywhere. Man.
Yeah, Matt, I know that. I'm going to say the last name before we're off the air here, but, yeah, I know exactly who that is.
So that was funny. So just a fun thing. Top 10 all time before we jump. And I was thinking about taking a break. Just keep plowing ahead, right? We good?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right. So top 10 all time Big Reds opponents. Traverse City Central's number one. Grand Haven, two. I'm going to go right down the line. Shores, Union, Benton Harbor, Muskegon Catholic Central, East Kentwood, Muskegon Heights, Lansing, Sexton, and Grand Rapids, Ottawa Hills. The only one of those you don't have a winning record against is Traverse City Central. That struck me as kind of funny, that Traverse City Central, what's the history
of
that?
I want to know against them.
Yeah, okay.
But they were Traverse City, before they became Traverse City Central, was Traverse City High School.
Okay.
And now there's a West and a Central, and they split that high school.
Right,
but
right.
Back in the day, the Traverse City, I think they were the Trojans, Traverse City.
I think that's right.
They were a dominant force up there.
And Jack Sugar's son coaches up there,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep,
yeah,
yep, Eric,
Sugars was
yep.
up there helping him, yep. mentoring him.
Yep.
And
We played him in the playoffs in
That's right. I think some folks were a little worried, oh, man, you got Sug's son up there, man.
Yep.
That's a little
They were undefeated.
Yeah.
And we went up there and played them in 14. Yeah, Traverse City has always been a powerhouse. As you go back to the games, and that's the ones that people talk about the most around here. The alum, when we go and talk with at the Vets Club, with some of the old timers there.
What's the club that's over in Lakeside?
Yeah, the VFW there, the vet club.
Is that up on the hill?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right there on the hill on the left hand across from another.
There's a lot of ghosts hanging out there still, I bet.
A lot of the big red ghosts. I was just able to go take a picture with, we had a meeting last Thursday in July. We went up there and had a meeting, and I was able to take a picture with Tony Anise and Dave Taylor.
Wow, you nice.
Who took that photo? I want that
Blaine.
Photo.
Blaine.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah.
Blaine. Those are not free, Jason. Those are not free.
Going and starting at 10 grand for 5x7.
Right. Fundraising. Always. Always. So I just thought that was interesting. So let's jump into this season. De La Salle, week one, yep. Home. King, home. Then you got to go to East Grand Rapids.
Your stomping grounds.
Talk about coming out of the chute hot, brother.
100%.
I mean, so talk about, De La Salle, they won the state championship last year. King, they won it the prior 2 years in a row.
And lost by one to De La Salle last year, in the semis.
Exactly. And then the rest of the schedule. But talk about getting off to the fast start.
That's one when nobody else will play you. And unfortunately, I'm not going to call anyone out. But there was like 17 schools within 30-mile radius of us, that would not play us. So that puts us in a situation where we have to go out and play teams in Stevens in Illinois. And a couple years ago, we went to Toledo and played Sylvania Southview and those kind of teams. So where we play, always open up with DCC, Orchard Lake St. Mary's, Macomb Dakota, Ann Arbor Pioneer. So unfortunately, that's just the situation we're in. But De La Salle, the whole unique thing behind that is the state champ. In 2008, when we won the state championship, the AD was Mike Watson. Well, Mike Watson is now the new AD at De La Salle. And he signed – this has been signed like 2 years ago. It's almost 2 to 3 years ago when he first got that job. This game was signed.
Is this a two-year deal?
Two-year deal. So nice. We'll play him here this year. And then 19, we'll play him on a Saturday over in Wayne State in the kickoff classic.
Really?
So, yeah. So next year we'll play
That's
at Wayne
exciting.
State. So against De La Salle. So, and then so that game is, Mike Watson.
You might have a full house here for that
Maybe.
One. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking so. I'm thinking.
Does Keith need to bring in some extra bleachers? a couple of trucks, extra fire trucks there.
I would charge for sitting on those. But we're excited about being one of the only games. I think a couple other schools are playing on Friday night, but everybody else plays Thursday or Saturday. So we're excited about, Mona plays. EK.
Yeah, it's a Gridiron Classic there at GVSU.
Yeah, so they play on a Saturday. So, I think anyone's going to want to see what we're about.
Right.
And of course, our kids will do the same and go see them on that day. But then the King game, how that came about was a year ago when I had the 17 team. I chased around Spencer, Coach Spence from MLK. I wanted to play him. Pioneer wanted to drop us. So we were going to drop Pioneer and sign King, and then some things fell through, and it never worked out. So we were supposed to play them here last year, and it didn't happen until the week of the state final game. I was on a bus heading to Grand Valley for practice, and I got a text from Coach Spence, and he's like, hey, I know you're busy getting ready to go win a championship, but let's talk about playing a game next year.
Very good.
So it wasn't before I got to the Grand Valley's Kelly Fieldhouse there that I called our AD and said, hey, is it okay? And he said, yeah, get it done. So we signed them right away. Within, 48 hours, we had that thing signed because I didn't want to lose that game and that opportunity. Well, now I realize why he called me, because he's got like 15 Division I dudes, and a bunch of transfers in. So it's going to be exciting. But, man, talk about this field is going to be loaded with guys, with dudes, and great, great programs.
How many Division I players do you think are going to be on the field between you
20.
And them?
Wow. 20.
Wow.
If not
so there might be a few college coaches there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're that Friday night, the 31st, is going
to
be.
You might have to have, one of those concierge rooms, for all the college coaches. Hey, coach,
so if I
here's,
hit
here's
you
a hamburger for you.
So if I want to hit you up for a sideline pass, I better do it right now?
Right now.
Okay. Yep, can I have a sideline pass for that game?
No.
Exactly.
Cost you. That'll cost you.
It cost you.
Of course you can. But we're excited. That game is going to be just phenomenal. They've got a three-year starter at quarterback who played in the state finals as a sophomore.
Where's he going?
He committed to Central.
Did he?
Yep, committed to Central. They got a linebacker that committed to Buffalo. They got some guys going to Michigan State. They got guys going. They're just man, it's going to be fun. You know,
wow. Isn't that what it's about, though?
Oh, 100%.
Man? I mean, you get all these studs on the field like that as coaches,
yep,
to watch your kids elevate their play and meet these other kids that are studs head to head. It's exciting.
And talk about fun for the area in high school football. And man, it's just,
and what a historic place to play.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
Winning this program in the state history, right here, Hackley Stadium.
It's defending state champ versus two-time defending state champ.
Wow.
And we're excited. Then it doesn't get easier because then you go play EGR. At EGR, what a beautiful facility they have. I love playing over there. That's a great place. And, of course, you know, Coach Thursma, of course, left a dynasty there. And the coach now is doing an amazing job. Longo.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a heck of a job. They battled. His first year they came here and played us in 16, 28-10 game, I think it was, you know, something like that. And he does a great job with staying with what they do and true to what they are. They were undefeated last year, 9-0, lost in a shootout to Zeeland or Cedar Springs.
Yeah, what a shocker that must have been,
crazy.
Right?
That was a crazy game. So
I was here for that East
that,
game,
that,
man. There was some hitting going on in that game, boy. There was some banging going on.
Oh, yeah.
And just the energy before kickoff with your guys and their guys. There was not a dislike, just a total respect. But that was as physical a game as I've been around in a long time.
And that 2016 game, wasn't it pretty tight? It kind of went all the way down to the end there. I mean, it was 28-10 was the final, but – that ended up being that was a great game.
They had a great, and that's what, you know, and our field was, I'm not, you know, people get mad at me for saying this, but they are a good football team that what they do is between the trenches and they're, you know, and we're speed. We build speed. People, you know, I run a very hard conditioning program. We run a very speed development school. We do a lot of explosive stuff, so I build this fast race car, and then it gets wet and moist out there, and then the grass gets wet, and then our kids are slipping and sliding. We're trying to cut, and that, you know, the old thing is, well, they got to play on it too. Well, it's two different styles. Some are downhill, some are speed, and a cut here and a cut there,
and you ran into that against Lowell.
Yes.
Remember
you had
a pond in the middle of 15. the pond mud puddle going on there.
I think there might have
been
a sprinkler in the middle of that field.
I think there was. They might have turned that on the night before.
All week.
But we're not going there.
I won't go into that.
No, we're not going into that.
People just stop bashing
me for
that one.
It's a game. It's a game, you know.
But with today's technology and stuff, you know, and why leave it to that? You know, we're not we're not playing in 1960s and 70s and 80s anymore. We're playing in where the best team should win. And if you lose, you lose. You know, I mean, I've lost state finals and I give them all the credit. They were better than us, you know. So, but that game was crazy. So that game there was a game that worried me because I knew they were, you know, everybody knows East Grand Rapids is power-eye football, downhill. And when your D-linemen are trying to plant their feet in the ground to stop a double team and a triple team and a trap, and then you're slipping and sliding and they're creasing you, you know, and then you're counting on the ball on the perimeter, you're counting on a nice cut on the edge, and then you're slipping and sliding. Your kids are starting to chop, chop, chop to make a cut. Now that slower guy's making that closure. So that's why we ended up moving some of the games.
So do you think –
Well, that's why you went to Grand Haven last year, right?
That kind of leads me to my question is, you know, I mean, Hackley Stadium, I mean, it's – to have the natural turf is – maybe it goes with the stadium, but is there talk to have turf, artificial turf here?
There has been. There has been a lot of talk about it. But with the situation that goes on with budget cuts.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
I mean, we
state,
all know. No one is benign to knowing. I mean, it's
so it wouldn't look right, I think, in the community's eyes or taxpayers' eyes that, you know, we're hurting for class.
And I don't mean
stuff
to bring it up, but, you know, John, one of your terms, cheeks in the seats, you know, this place does get a lot of people in the door here. And I know that it would be expensive to bring in turf. But, you know, you can't deny the history of this place and the funding that you get by people who attend here. And to lose a playoff game where, you know, you might have how many people does Hackley Stadium fit?
Seven. Well, in the seats, about seven.
7,000 people, right?
Yeah, that's not counting the end zone.
Right, so you're losing a game of 7,000 people.
Well, in all reality, what happens is in the state finals and the playoffs, we don't get that money anyway.
Okay, you don't.
We might get
that helps clear things up, I think.
You get like 10%.
Okay.
They charge $5 or $6 a ticket.
Right.
But that money goes right to the state.
Right.
And
the MHSAA.
The state, then the state, then that's the money that pays for the tournament. then that they'll give you a check back. They give you a, you know, so every home, every game you hold now, your concession stands are your concession stands, but that goes to other.
Well, you split
other,
it up to we, band and
the band gets we don't get any of that. So
right.
You know, so then the Athletic Foundation will sell some stuff, but you know, you're not allowed to pay over so much money for parking. You're not a – yeah, they kind of handcuff you in the play. It's almost worth playing on the road in the playoffs, except for your
– get a better field, baby.
You know, you like playing. So, but right. I would love – I hated last year's grass looked good. Our grounds guy, Lonnie Clark, and Jeff Kramer do an amazing job with our field. But it looked better than what it was. It rained all week. We're getting ready to go play Zeeland West. We were slipping and sliding against Holland. And I just said, you know, I have to do what's best for our team. I got to take the beatings. I've had people come up to me and tell me, oh, you lose this and you're out of here. You better win. You lose, I'm firing you. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I think the goal, ultimate goal is to play that last game indoors. And I hope our fans understand it's never done intentionally to take away from them. But I love playing here. I love that tunnel walk. I miss that tunnel walk when we're not here. You know, I love turning around, seeing those 7,000 people right behind you. There's no track here, you know, for those that have never been to Hackley.
It's
6 yards from the out-of-bounds
line.
They're
on top of you. They're
right
on top of you.
There's not a bad seat here. You know, you get that fire department, like you mentioned earlier, the fire truck's on the other side. And they're sitting up there on top watching it. You know, you got the walk we have. We have the walk from the team room to the back of the stadium to here after we eat team meal and stuff. And, you know, the tailgating and all that kind of stuff. So, but
yeah, you get a – You get a window back. I feel like when I'm on the field here, I sometimes feel like I'm you know, could be 75 years ago. You know, it's a nostalgia.
Well, so I read an article on M Live. I believe it was M Live, and talk about those first three games. You were very, very, very outspoken about, hey, it is what it is. First three games, you can't come up with a more tougher way to open the season. Win or lose, you're going to know where you stand. You'd rather know that now early than go in, as you said, week eight or nine and lose and go, ooh, what did we not do right?
Right, yeah. No,
so talk about that a little bit.
You know, it's a win-win. I learned that when I went to Holton. When I was the head coach at Holton High School, everybody thought I was crazy when I signed Mendon. I signed Muskegon Catholic Central. I asked the AD when we were walking down the hall when he said he was going to give me the job. I said, are you going to fire me already if I tell you I want to play Catholic? And he said, no, but well, you know why? So we signed him for game three. And I said, because either way, win or lose, we're going to be better after that game because of the intensity of the way Catholic plays, the hitting the way Catholic plays, the tradition, getting that our kids to understand, oh, they're dudes too, you know what I mean? And I always say this, it's you can explain a Whopper. I don't know if I'm supposed to plug Burger King or not, but you can explain how
they haven't paid us yet.
They haven't. No.
They will now.
No.
You can explain how well a good a Whopper tastes, you know, with cheese. But if you don't taste it yourself, you're like, that's just a burger. You taste that Whopper with cheese with all the fixings on it, you're like, that's a good burger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can tell kids how, you know, playing Catholic, playing De La Salle, playing King, oh, it'd be like this, it's like this, it's like that. But until you play them, until you watch them warm up, until you watch them walk on the field, until you watch how they handle themselves in situations, and from the moment we played Catholic, we lost that game by 11. From the time we played them for the rest of school, we were just at a whole nother level. You know, and then we played them again and lost in a dogfight at Catholic that year. So we went from playing Catholic never in school history to playing them 4 times in 2 years. And we lost to them in overtime by a field goal after we had scored a game-winning touchdown in overtime. They called it back. But so to take our program to that level, that just tells you that's you know, we beat Ravana that year. We beat Goebbels that year. The same thing is going to happen for us here at Muskegon. We're playing De La Salle. We're going to find out how good we are right away. King, we're going to find out how good we are. And then we have some games in there we feel that we should be okay in. You never take anyone lightly. I'm actually more of a jerk those weeks than I am the big games. Then you have a Mona game where they're going to test us again. Back to that playoff atmosphere again. It's going to be here. They're going to be really good. You know, they got a lot of returning starters. They got some D1 guys. And then you have that game 9 against Puffer. And then you get ready for the playoffs. But by that time, then you'll definitely know what needs to be fixed, what doesn't need to be fixed, and if you belong in the playoffs. I never want to buy a playoff qualifying T-shirt. We're not going to the playoffs to buy a playoff qualifying T-shirt. You'll never see one. You'll never see a shirt here that says playoff qualifiers. You know what I mean? That's not why we make the playoffs.
I've never understood it anyway.
Right. Well, I'm not trying to – those programs that are – trying to build those things. I understand that, and I'm not taking it from them. But we're just at their expectation here.
You have a tradition here.
Yeah, it's just a whole nother. If I bought a playoff qualifying T-shirt and was happy with it, they'd run me out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won 14 games last year, and they're still not happy that I didn't win by enough. So,
so you talked about it. Kennewick Hills, at Kennewick Hills, after East Grand Rapids, and at Fruitport, first-year coach Nate Smith over there, had a great visit with him. And then Jennison. Jennison's got a new head coach this year.
My man.
Yeah. Talk about Jennison a little bit. Jennison's a big school in the black. So
They're doing things right. They got a great coach in there, Rob Zeitman. He was a part of this staff in the 06 team. Won a state title, went on to become a head coach. Actually, I moved him and his family down to Chippewa Valley. Chippewa Valley over in the Macomb area. He moved back to Northview, got a head coaching job at Northview. And then left, went to Ferris with Tony. And then after that, he went and got the O-line job at Kent State for a couple years. And then that staff was displaced. So he then came back to Muskegon, got a job at Jennison. And, man, I'm excited. I'm excited for our conference. I'm excited for him and his family. He's such a great family man and great father and a great mentor. And he's good for high school football and young people. We're going to have to coach our butts off. You know, we're going to have another team in our conference that's going to be well coached and disciplined and physical. But Robbie's a great guy and excited for him and his family.
Right. So you got Jennison at home and then away at Union and then Shores and Puffer at home. You talked about those. Coming back, check my math. Offensive starters 5 coming back.
An offense?
Yes.
We'll be 5 and 6.
Okay.
I count LaMarion, Sherrell, and Elevante Wallace as a starter, but for sure the 4 offensive linemen, and then LaMarion Stickham's number 5. He'll be 3 this year. He was a starting receiver for us.
Okay.
And then, of course, Elevante Wallace played a lot of H-back and running back for us. So he's
and
back.
Defensive guys coming back? Talk about that a little bit.
About 5 or 6 there as well. LaMarion is back on defense for us. Levante's back. Billy Roberts is back. Jacoby Harris is back. So probably about 4 or 5 on the defensive side of the ball.
Lonnie Clark, your top running back, coming back?
He's gone.
Oh, is he gone?
Lonnie's gone.
I thought he was coming back.
Nope, he is gone. He's a junior by name. So everybody always saw that Lonnie Clark Jr.
Oh, that was it.
His dad's Lonnie Clark Sr.
Gotcha.
So and your grounds crew guy, right?
He's a father.
Yeah, he's your grounds crew.
Yeah, being a junior, I should have picked up on that. My bad. Yeah. So I was hoping he was coming back because he's pretty good kid, pretty good player.
Well, we have a couple other ones that are in there. We got a running back by committee right now. So we're very blessed with Jeremiah Lockhart having a great season, Tyran Walker, Tommy Watt, the running back, he transferred over, Elevante Wallace. So we got some dudes back there that can tote the ball a little bit, I think.
What about kids catching the ball? Top receivers. What do you got?
Quentin Reynolds.
Okay.
Quentin Reynolds was the brother of Kevin Reynolds, who played for us on the 16 team. And he was a basketball player. He's playing some free safety and receiver. Kobe Lewis is a junior. He's going to be a receiver for us. And then LaMarion Sherrell, Stickham. So those are our 3 guys. And then we're a 2x2 set, so our slots are also receivers. So Mario Robinson and Hirosha Wilson, Bubba, have done an amazing job catching the ball for us all summer.
Summer Coaches Series coming to you on the localsportsjournal.com, coming to you live from Hackley Stadium.
Wow.
Jason.
Pinching myself. Being in here, Coach's office
Coach,
here.
Coach Fairfield, this has been great. So announcement. Coaches show.
Yeah, Big Red's coaches show. And, I had to
We leave. Have your blessing to talk about that, I hope, because we could edit it out if you don't want us to.
Go.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Well, so go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, I had to take a break here in the middle of our interview as it was going on. I got a phone call, and I talked to our folks down there at Rad Dads, and they are 100% on board.
Awesome.
For Wednesday nights, 7 to 8:30.
Yep.
And we're going to be doing a live Muskegon Big Reds football coaches show.
That's
something
awesome.
That, I talk about pinching myself a lot. I got a lot of bruises when I come into Coach Fairfield's office. And
I'm not hitting him.
He's not.
No letters, please.
Yeah.
No phone
but,
calls.
This is something that I think is it should have been going on a long time. Bob Ecker, obviously, the voice of the
involved.
Big Reds.
Yep.
He is absolutely going to be involved. John and I know are excited.
Well, and I've done that with Steve over at Catholic for several years, and And we've got it all, and we'll certainly cover it with you, but sort of segment it out, and you'll get the whole drift of it. But we're really excited.
Listen to you all the time. I think Coach Bowles was on it one time there as an ex-Muskegon alum and friend of Steve's. I think he might have even been on the show one night. But that's a great show you guys have done. It's great for high school football and young men. Your corner there where you ask kids all the little hot questions and all that.
I brought that. I was hoping you might have a player, but we'll get to that certainly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have
the Knights has been an awesome host. Right? Yeah. Shout out to Stevie over there. Yeah. He's been an awesome host.
Coach, the show. I think it's great. You know, how do you and your staff feel about it?
They don't have a choice. no, I'm just kidding. We love it. Anything to do to expose, to continue to let people understand what we're doing here. To invite other people in, to showcase our young beautiful minds and student athletes here, and to get to know the kids instead of just a number. You know, anything we can do to have the community put a face with a name, with a jersey, and refer to them. You'll see them in Myers. A lot of times they just see them in uniform. They see them as a number. Hey, that kid's a great football player. But what we try to do is make sure they understand that these are great, great young men that they're supporting and are our future. So
it's going to be great for the community too. So Rad Dads, we've just literally got the news. So
literally,
we haven't figured any
great.
Of that out
that's
yet. But
great.
Yeah, some really simple menu, or I don't know how they're going to do it, but
well,
for the Big Red,
we're going to work those details out
for the Big Red community to come out on a night and support you and have you there and maybe a table full of the players and you know, as long as they try not to eat too much.
It's good to remind the airwaves, you know, hey, Muskegon is the winningest program in the state. And more people need to hear that. And I'm speechless. You know, it's a great thing.
You're excited
up.
About it.
I am.
We've moved up. When we first got, you know, I think took over, we were like 15th in the country. Now we're number 7.
In the entire country.
The entire country.
Right
seventh,
here.
Seventh in the nation.
Muskegon, Michigan.
Yep.
I mean, the tradition, and it needs to be spoken about a lot more.
Well, thank you.
So in conjunction with the coach's show, now that means with your blessing, of course, we got to do a pregame show before the first game of the season, LaSalle coming to town.
I'll be out of town that week. I'm gone. I didn't tell you.
You're on vacation?
Yeah.
Well, okay,
yeah,
the show's done. It's canceled.
No, they're still going to play. They're still playing and coaching. I'm just not going to be here.
Yeah.
If they have any questions, they can FaceTime me, but I'm going to be on a beach.
We'll have you on a video board. How about that? We'll get you on the live stream, Coach, sitting on the beach.
So we'll get that date figured out.
You're all access. But what you guys are doing for our program and our school and our community and all of area high school football, man, you guys won't need for anything.
So anything you want to promote for the school? I know I saw something about you guys going to Hamburger Mikey's and doing something there, and you've got these kids. You're a busy guy. I know that for certain.
Well, it's just the community itself. You know, we have a few parents that wanted to stay. They're ex-educators and coaches in the area, husband and a wife that want to stay, you know, kind of behind the scenes. But they took care of all that at Hamburger Mikey's and worked a deal with those guys over there. What a great time that was. But, you know, we have a great support system with people really embracing our young men and this time. And we couldn't be more thankful. So, you know, there's always stuff going on.
And the Mikey's might have gotten into something there. They weren't really – might not have done their homework on. I don't know how many pounds of ground beef they ate.
It was great burgers. I mean,
a good burger.
They dumped piles of fries on the table. So there was a constant just – you know, you'd have four guys at a table, and there would be a pile of fries and a pile of fries and a pile of fries. They just were dumping them all night long. So
wow. And I've seen kids on the corner selling stuff for your program. What's that about?
Well, we went to Veer Camp. We go to Veer Camp, and it's a four-day, three-night camp where we go to the east side of the state. And it costs quite a bit of money to go do that. So the kids just, instead of hitting the families up, we only do two fundraisers all year long. We do a tag sale. And then we do a gold card sale, you know, the discount card sale.
Cool.
That's the only two things that we ask our kids to go into pocket for. Other than that, we try to take care of everything else as far as trips, college trips.
So who is the number one salesman on your team? Or top five?
I bought a couple. Your kids were all up by the farmer's market, and I was driving through there, and I bought a couple.
Our freshman, Miles Walton. Miles Walton, our freshman kid who's probably going to start for us or could start for us on the varsity this year. This young man is a phenomenal
freshman.
Freshman.
A freshman on the Big Red.
Oh, Miles Walton. Yeah, trust me.
Talk about him a little bit.
He's not afraid of anything. He's just 100 miles an hour.
Big kid.
He's probably 175 pound, 5'8", 5'9", freshman that just had an amazing summer. He wants to work with us. He was the starting quarterback last year on the eighth grade team that went undefeated, 6-0, and just wants to be with the best. You know, he's been practicing. He's been lifting with us all summer. He's ran with us all summer. He's gone to the Michigan State camp, held his own, and had picks, and you know, against all high school kids. He went to the Kirk Cousins 7-on-7 with us, and he ran the other night. We did a military workout for conditioning, and the Marines come in and they do a workout with the kids and kind of take control of the young men. And he was supposed to run an 800. Everybody had to run an 800 before we do all these other exercises, and it's timed. And I never seen a kid just try to run an 800 as fast as he could. You know what I mean? And he just does everything we ask him to do. So he'll be a receiver, slot receiver, and then he could possibly be playing corner for us. So.
And he's your number one salesman.
And a number one salesman.
Wow.
How do you go wrong there?
Cal, that kid sounds like he might be going somewhere, John.
So real quick, and then we'll let you get out of here. We really appreciate the time. 7-on-7s, you've done quite a bit with that.
Yep.
You talk about these young guys. You take them all with you, all the kids, or is it just a varsity thing? And where did you go and what camps did you do, real quick?
Well, this year we did the Kirk Cousins is a 7-on-7 tournament. We play 7 to 8 games. We 2 years ago we won it. Last year DeWitt beat us. This last year Holland beat us. So it could be a return of things. When we do our 7-on-7s, we don't go to win a 7-on-7. There's some offenses you can run and defenses you can run to win those things. But the game changes completely when you add pads on. The quarterback doesn't get 4 and 5 seconds to throw the ball, things like that. So we go just to see who can compete. But, yeah, we took some lower-level guys with us. We took some younger guys to Michigan State with us. Of course, we took 75 to 80 kids to the east side of the state for a team camp.
That's great.
So they get exposure to that. You know, they listen to our seniors speak and things like that. So our freshmen will end up being seniors, and then they'll remember when I was a freshman, I heard this kid talk. So this year they heard Bradford talk. They heard – you know, Marquise talk and Elevante talk, Bubba talk. So that is just it's how we kind of keep this program going. So we just do, and then we did a couple 7-on-7s here against Traverse City Central, Whitehall, Shelby, and we had a lot of, you know, Orchard View, our younger kids threw a lot against those guys. So they get the varsity coaching and the experience all summer long.
You know, that's the cool. Montague kids, did you guys do anything as Montague this summer?
Montague. We had a team camp at E. Grant. At
East. And it seems like you guys have a good connection. We were up there in Pat Collins' office there. and
nothing but love for
those
you.
Those kids Montague. Were, they just, you know, when we started, the Big Reds came up, and it just seems like you guys kind of have a family thing kind of going on with them.
Yeah, we every year we do a team camp, and then we do a 7-on-7 with them. But it goes back to the 08 team when we won the state title, and they were lining up. And our kids ran through their lineup before the game, hugging them and high-fiving them, telling them good luck, you know what I mean? And you could just see this blue with this wave of red, and it was really cool. And, of course, you know, Pat Collins, we have the utmost respect for. He runs a great program. He does everything right. He's another guy good for high school football. So it's a respectful deal up there every year.
Yeah, you know, that 08 year was – just
for this area.
I think it was just a testament of why Muskegon County is the football king of the state of Michigan when it comes to football per capita. No, people are going to have a very, very difficult time coming in here and trying to compete.
I would like to build a team or two from some of this whole area. You know,
could you imagine?
kind of an all-star thing.
Yeah.
You know, just take it on the road. Kings of the field.
Yeah, but they it's a tribute to the coaching. There's so many great coaches on this area, you know, that have to coach really, really hard, and they're blue-collar guys that coach the game the right way, and I think that's a lot of the success.
Yeah, Muskegon tradition, the sports tradition, has very, very deep roots, doesn't it, John?
Oh, you know what? That's been the whole buzz about doing this. We talked to you early on, man. In our opinion, the lack of respect this area gets. I mean, there's a lot of great athletes and a lot of great football being played. And just my being around it, living south of Grand Haven, I really wasn't immersed in it until I started sending my kids to Catholic 10 years ago.
The thing I love about –
But you get up here, and you said it, the quality of coaching and the relationship you guys have with your kids and the mutual respect – not always the best relationship, but always respectful, man. It's a big deal, and it's paid dividends with my boys. I mean, my boys were lucky enough to play for Coach Holmes and Coach Rebecca and win a couple of championships. So all due respect to you, man. I appreciate your time today. This is the Coaches Series. Anything else you want to talk about, Coach, before we get you out of here, before we get you back for the preseason special now that we got you for a Coaches Show?
I'm just getting ready to go out and start day one. So, but don't think
wow,
I can't
day one.
From my program and my coaches and our players and our school and our community, we want to thank you guys once again. Can't thank you enough for the time and effort that you guys put into this, the homework you guys do. We know you don't get rich doing it, but it's such a great tool that we need for our sport and for our young people. So hats off to you guys from the Big Reds.
Buddy, we really appreciate it. Today was part five with Coach Shane Fairfield, Big Reds. Matt Kosiak coming up after this one. That'll wrap up the coaches series, but we're going to be visiting with all kinds of coaches
and
be back with Coach Fairfield, obviously, for his coaches show in preseason, but maybe back before one of the other matchups.
That's right. We don't want to forget about the LSJ's.
Please, I was just going to
say. High school football kickoff party at Bella Maria's August 17, going to be from 4 to 8 p.m. That's our the release party for the preview section. There's going to be 22 football teams in there. We got four feature stories. The Big Reds might have a feature story in there as well, outside of just your team preview.
Coach is on the cover, right? He said he wanted to be on the
cover. I don't know. He said he might have to come hunt me down if I put him on the cover again. But,
right.
No, that preview section's a great thing. You know, I got to give love to our reporters, guys like Steve Gunn and Dave Hart and Dave Tomczak and, Nate Thompson and our photographers like Tim Riley and Joe Lane. And we got a great staff of folks it just makes the LSJ turn. And this preview section, it's an amazing amount of work, and we have to accomplish it all. To be able to get it in your hands, hot off the press, you know, wearing your oven mittens so it doesn't burn your hands, you know, by that 17th, I mean, that's, you get 2 weeks,
yep,
you know, to have that all ready. So to put that all together, it's you know, I obviously do not do this on my own. It's just we have amazing guys that have come out of the woodwork and made this LSLocalSportsJournal.com functioning. And
nothing but love to those folks. Finishing Touch Salon, massage, tanning, and terrific products. 865 West Summit, Roosevelt Park, 231-755-3377, ASSE International. Consider hosting an international high school student. Please call Julie McKay. That's the shameless plug from my beautiful wife, 616-402-2892. And then other sponsors, Preferred Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Muskegon, Orthopedic Associates of Muskegon, Port City Pediatrics, Bad Boy Bail Bonds, Sherry Becker at Waddell and Reed, Financial, Deer Speed Automotive, and Sports Clips. Coach, thank you. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Coach.
That does it for part five. Coming to you live from Hackley Stadium.
Wow.
We'll be back.